Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rob Bradford and Alex Reamer, now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Yo, what's happening? What is going on here?
Lou, the floor is yours.
What in the world? Are we on the air still? Oh, Rob, it's your mic. I think you have to move.
That Bradfo show. It's Rob Bradford must be on the radio.
This is unbelievable. One more time for good luck.
Oh. Can we stop? This is unbelievable.
Talk.
You hit the nail on the head on a lot of things.
Hello, hello, hello.
Boom sauce.
Bradford and Reamer. Sports talk on the weekend continues right now with Rob Bradford and Alex Reamer on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, Rob, one more hour down. Per usual, we are just setting the world on fire.
Has it gone by today. Quick for you, Alex?
Pretty quickly, yeah.
All right, that's all I ask.
How about you?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we're moving. We haven't had a point where I feel like we're slugging along.
No, of course not.
No.
No, that never happens. Analytics show.
We have this Celtics carcass to pick at.
Oh, my goodness.
So many things to pick at.
The combination of that, the poll questions, and your illogical hatred of Major League Baseball. But
it's not illogical. I just want, you know, owners to spend money.
I know. It's illogical.
I want good players. I want good players.
Illogically spend money.
26-year-old Bryce Harper. I'm crazy. I'm a crazy person. Wild. How what a wild
What did he hit
idea.
Last year? What did he hit?
Batting average in our
What was his OPS?
Stat. Probably mid-800s, right? Mid to high?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
It was it 2 years ago. I mean, it's Bryce Harper, come on.
I know this is a little off topic, but I just saw this, and this is the magic of why Biz Stone started Twitter, right? Correct?
Yeah, right.
We
yeah,
can
not
agree
Jack
with
Dorsey,
that?
Biz
not
Stone,
Jack Dorsey.
Yes.
Okay, Biz Stone. My guy, Biz Stone. Somebody posted, who is this? I should give credit. Brad OTC, whoever that is, at Brad OTC post, highest paid NFL players by position. And I just thought this was semi-interesting because some of the names you're talking about, this is per year. You know the highest paid cornerback is?
I don't off the top of my head, so let me guess. let's see. Aqib Talib.
Darrell Revis.
Still.
Yep. $16 million. Buccaneers. Who knew he even
No, you're saying this is an NFL history?
No.
Rob, that doesn't make sense.
Inflation of 2018. List of the highest paid players by position based on new money APY, whatever that is.
Why were the Buccaneers? I don't think the Buccaneers were paying Darrell Revis last year.
Well, this go to highest, the only Patriots player on the list, highest paid player at the position.
Yeah, that makes because he last played with the Chiefs in 2017, Revis, and then he wasn't even.
Oh, this is 2013. Highest paid ever. Highest paid
ever. Wait, so is this list from 2013?
Oh, no, highest paid ever.
What, Darrell Revis?
Yeah, 2013. They're not paying cornerbacks anymore.
I don't know. Maybe someone surpassed him.
Not according to this. Highest paid for Patriot player?
Ever?
Ever.
Who?
No, for position?
Oh, was the only
person. In other words, the only person on this list, Steven Gostkowski, 2015.
That makes sense. They also made Mankins one of the highest paid guards in the league back in the day.
Aaron Rodgers, $33 million. I don't think Tom Brady's paid that.
Not quite. The Brady is getting another contract here. They'll extend him through 2020, 2021. You spread out that cap hit. One quick note from all the mic'd up stuff that we watched this week on NFL Network and what have you. One of my biggest takeaways is just how involved Belichick still is on the defensive side of the ball, coaching those guys up on seemingly every
play. I heard you say
play.
This. I didn't like this take.
Why?
Because you're saying how involved he is. What he was saying, yeah, he's involved, but it's a lot of this was generic. If you want to really be involved, if you want to talk about the involvement
well,
that you're talking about.
Well, they showed us the generic stuff. I'm assuming there was more.
I'm sure he's involved, but this goes back to the Romo thing. Every time the Patriots did anything, brought over the safety, did this or did that. It's not like, give Brian Flores some credit here.
But Belichick is still pays so much attention to detail. He's yelling at the official about the roof.
Oh, believe me.
Not being
closed.
Let
me tell you, yes.
It only affect the kickoff. And I shouldn't even say yelling.
And McVay, where's McVay standing?
Yes, like Belichick could do this for another 10 years. And it doesn't seem like it takes
I heard these Alex Reamer takes before. Like, you know you
right,
you're regurgitating Alex Reamer takes.
Well, not everyone listens to me every time.
I thought I listened. Audiences. I listened, and I'm glad you are because I will pick them apart.
Okay.
I think that the whole thing about Belichick, good for him for knowing that the roof is going to close at a certain time, that the kickoff is going to have to be adjusted. Good for him. Absolutely. Where's Sean McVay standing? All right, fine. I never bought into that Pete Carroll thing ever. I looked across the field. I saw he was crapping his pants, and so I knew that he was going to make the – I never, ever bought into that.
It's like Danny Ainge saying he would have drafted Durant.
Exactly. Sure, but yeah. Your point is that you came away from the mic'd up that Bill Belichick is involved.
Duff. That's okay.
Duff hung up. The point is that Bill Belichick is involved.
Right, exactly.
That he's not just some curmudgeon on the sideline. Like,
you just hate football.
Yelling at the
kids.
I
appreciate football.
I love football. Yeah. I watched those games last night.
Oh, where do you fit on this Edelman debate?
The Hall of Fame?
No. The PED. Do you think he should have been ineligible?
I thought there was some hypocritical takes on it. And I know that you're like baseball writers.
Sour grapes baseball writers. Angry at baseball this week.
But this whole idea that football, of course football, you're not going to count PEDs. Of course you're not going to count PEDs. Of course you're going to look at it differently because it's such a violent sport. Of course you are.
Right.
But Alex, at the end of the day, you also have, it's a rule, right? It's a rule. You broke the rules, correct?
Right.
You broke the rules.
He got suspended.
Right.
He paid his time.
So it's inevitable that people are going to look at football players and baseball players different. That is a battle you're never going to win, ever, if you're a baseball fan. Ever. But to say that, oh, well, of course you should look at it differently because it's a more violent game. Yeah, okay, then change the rules, right?
What do you mean change the rules?
Well, change the rules so that it's legal.
Yeah, but it's two different arguments.
That HGH is legal.
But do you understand why football players take performance-enhancing drugs?
Sure.
Okay, because we watch them get hit in the head
a million times. I understand why they smoke weed. I understand all of it. Yes.
So that's why it's different. It is acceptable because we look at a guy like Julian Edelman take hit after hit after hit and say, wow, there's no way that anybody could do that without putting something in his body. Baseball, they're standing around grabbing their junk. And you go, really?
Okay.
These guys need to take stuff? That's the difference. It comes down to aesthetics.
I don't disagree, but then why are there rules? Why did they put those rules in? And because Alex, rules are rules. If you're gonna play the game, you have to go by the rules. If you break the rules, yeah, you sit out four games and everyone said, shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. But we should ignore it. We shouldn't just ignore it and it goes, that's how it is. I understand that's how it is. And this is how it's been all the live long day. That football players are viewed a different way for the exact reason that you're talking about. And a big part of this also.
But this is only because of Edelman. Like, if the Patriots played the Saints in the Super Bowl and Mark Ingram
It shouldn't be.
If Mark Ingram, though, had a big game, who also served a PED suspension last season, I don't think many people would have been caterwauling about was solely a Patriots thing as well.
I'll give you. Well, yeah, I think it's also a thing where you have professional athletes and fan bases saying applaud no matter what they do. You know, I'll give you a baseball example. Aroldis Chapman was suspended for a month, the first month of a season, for doing horrific things, right? Domestic violence, right?
Yeah.
He's standing on the mound for Chicago Cubs. I don't think anyone in Wrigley Field was saying, oh my goodness, I cannot cheer for Aroldis Chapman.
They were up on their feet
cheering.
And
when they won, I don't think there was this huge outcry.
He allowed the home run, though, which was karmic justice.
Yeah, because he allowed the home run, and people didn't like him because he allowed the home run. But at the end of the day, they're like, or even when they traded for him, saying, oh, we couldn't trade for him. No. It's the same reason Adrian Peterson, you probably did some of those shows when the Patriots were working him out or whatever they were doing. Oh, you can't sign him. We can't sign him. Well, the minute that Adrian Peterson scores a touchdown for your team, you're like, oh, whatever. It's the same sort
but
of
why,
deal.
But I guess the point is, why are these baseball writers, the John Heyman and Tyler Kepner's of the world, why are they?
Because they have, because.
Because they're angry.
Because at the heart of it, In a different world, without all of this, without the reality that we're talking about, they have a point. But it's not the world that they want to live in. All the reasons that we said football players, we understand why they do this, and rules or no rules, we'll because of it, we're willing to move on from it. Baseball players, we aren't willing to move on from it. You know why? Even though the same rules, right? We have rules for both. You break the rules, you get punished. But the reason we aren't able to move on it from baseball is because of numbers.
Right, the records mean more. And also, though, it's just aesthetically. You watch Edelman get smashed in the head, you go, wow, I would take whatever I can to get back on the field. Non-guaranteed contracts are a part of it, too. So Edelman allegedly takes these PEDs while he's rehabbing from his torn ACL. So, like, if Edelman comes back solely from the ACL, Belichick's not playing in this year and not keeping a spot for Jules on the roster next year. Non-guaranteed deals, huge part of it. Baseball, it's these guaranteed contracts too. So you're like, in football, they're taking it for survival, whereas in baseball, they're taking it for greed.
No, right.
And that
you're
is
right.
The difference.
And you talk to, you know, I've talked to baseball players and they say exactly that. They paint to a guy like Melky Cabrera a couple years ago. Melky Cabrera gets popped for PEDs.
Right.
And then he goes on to, and he signs a big contract right in the middle of that. And then all of a sudden I just saw he signed a minor league deal. Well, he made money off of taking performance enhancing drugs. Like, to your point, Julian Edelman, the perception anyway, is Julian Edelman is doing it to survive. And I still have somewhat of a problem with you break the rules, you know, it's you should come down on, but that's not the world that we live in. And I'm accepting of that. And I think some of the people that you're talking about, the baseball writers, are accepting of
sour
that.
Sour grapes baseball writers.
And I wouldn't call them sour grapes.
Sour grapes. Eh. It's a bad look. The Monday after the Super Bowl, you're throwing bombs at the Super Bowl MVP.
And maybe they are. I mean, and if they are, then that's wrong. Say, like, I hate that sport and I love that sport. That's stupid. That's dumb.
I would also say, too, the notion that we hold PED use or alleged PED use against baseball players is kind of an old storyline. I mean, David Ortiz.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
Might be a good chance he gets in the Hall of Fame, right?
Sure.
Well,
and he wasn't even, I mean, we still don't know what he took.
Where do you fall on that?
I think by the time that he's going to be up for the Hall of Fame, that he is going, that we're going to have someone else already in.
Well, we already do have steroid users in the Hall of Fame.
Guys who are popped for it?
No, but just logic tells you that.
Okay, guys who are tied to it like David Ortiz were tied to it.
No, we don't.
Right. And there are going to be guys who are tied to it a lot more than David Ortiz was tied to it who will already be in the Hall of Fame. That's my prediction.
And honestly, too, like Robinson Cano was suspended for PEDs last year. When you say the words Robinson Cano, do people think, oh my God, cheater? No. No, that's an old storyline anyway. It doesn't stick with
you in
baseball.
By the time
the
Robinson Cano comes up for the Hall of Fame, it's not even going to be, right. I don't think it's going to be an argument.
As it should be. I mean, I've been on the forefront of this. I told Jay Leno when I was 12 years old, steroids, great for baseball, great for business. It's about the evolution of science and medicine. That's what it's about.
You lost me at Jay Leno.
Yes.
And then you got me back at the evolution of science and medicine.
It is. Yes, I was very, very well advanced in my age.
Do you agree with that? Do you think Clemens and Bonds are going to get in?
Eventually, yes. How many years do they have left?
3.
Yes, yes. The last year, they'll both get in.
Do you think, how many years will it take David Ortiz to get in? Because he's going to get in.
3.
3?
Yeah.
See, I think 2.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
2 or 3. Well, then the argument's done. Then you can say, well, it doesn't really stick with players anymore because David Ortiz did test positive.
This whole, and by the way, speaking of Hall of Fame, this whole Julian Edelman Hall of Fame thing is ridiculous.
Thanks to Boomer. Boomer should have gotten a media star for Super Bowl. Boomer Esiason on these airwaves started that debate. I know. Guy who's never made a Pro Bowl, has never led the league in any offensive category, receiving category of significance. I mean, great postseason, but no,
Did anyone challenge him on this?
Boomer?
Yeah.
No, they didn't. Mutt and Jerry did not challenge him. It was early. They record those before the show.
I understand that. I'm not even talking about Mutt and Jerry. I'm talking about anybody when he's saying any of this. This is ridiculous.
No, it is silly. Go ahead.
I was thinking of that panel they have on CBS. It was like one of the worst takes. Like that panel suddenly, as a media columnist, you know this, suddenly has some of the worst takes. I remember the Nate Burleson, I couldn't believe that these words were coming out of
his
mouth.
He's not bad, though. People like Nate Burleson.
No, I like Nate Burleson typically, but leading to that game when the whole is going to be cold in Foxborough, the Chargers and the Patriots, he's like, who are you going to pick? I picked the Patriots because I think that the old quarterback, Philip Rivers, his arm is going to wear down because it's cold. Like, how does anyone let him get away with saying that?
He has paid lots of money for that.
What is happening? Grossing.
Yeah, that is a show. There's Phil Sims, right? Sneaky bad. Phil Sims.
Well, he's not sneaky bad anymore.
Yeah. out to Pastor Phil. If I'm Phil Simzo, I'd like that job better. He's a great job. That's the best job in the world. When I die, I'm coming back and I'm going to be an NFL studio analyst.
I know you are. You may be one when your contract runs out.
In 5 years. Thank you, everyone. 5 to 10 year deal.
The whole Romo thing, that's what I think about too. Phil Simms, what's he thinking about when everyone's like praising
him? Oh, he probably hates Romo.
Oh, of course he does.
Which is human nature.
Well, I mean, hate is a strong word, Alex. You know that. We don't use that around here.
Right.
But
we never, yes.
But it makes him uncomfortable.
Jealous.
Like we,
Jealousous,
I sent you.
Wig.
You asked me to talk to some people about
Thank you
Romo
for doing that.
And Brian Billick. You listened to that, Brian? Right?
A little snippy, yeah.
A little snippy, right?
Like, you know, when you're right, only 33% of the time people still like it.
And he kept coming back to it. I hope you didn't take it. I hope you just discounted when I said, you've been really good at this.
I'm like, that's Rob China. You know, you've done this for a long time, Steve Mariucci. You're very good at this. It's like, it's Rob China. Got to work your sources.
Me and Mooch are tight now.
Got to work your sources. Yeah. The quintessential Radio Row guest is Steve Mariucci.
No, Billick was that guy.
And Billick.
So Billick was a guy. He was hawking some sort of protective gear, and all of a sudden you would hear this like whack 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 every like half hour, and it would be his handler. They were demonstrating, like, this is like the frying pan being run over by the 18-wheeler. It was like Brian be like boom boom boom, one person or the other. So, yeah, it was weird
Six,
team
617-779-7937. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Back to more of Bradford and Reamer on Sports Radio WEEI.
To me, it's not really about the loss, but the attitudes that we're playing with. You know, guys are, you know, hanging their heads. It's not fun, man. Like, it's not fun. We're not competing at a high level. You know, even though we're winning, it's still not fun. You know, I don't see the joy in the game. I watch all these other teams on the league, guys up on the bench, they're jumping on the court, they're doing all, you know, other stuff that this look like is they're enjoying, you know, their teammate success, they're enjoying everything, and they're playing together, and they're playing to win. And when I look at us, I just see a bunch of individuals.
Wow. Almost 4 hours, Bradfo, and I'm still trying to digest those.
You know what's
words.
Weird is that was fired. That was the first time I think I had heard that from this team, where, you know, the bench isn't animated enough. They're not congratulating.
Yeah. Like, you've individuals.
Heard. Because you always had, like, the behind the scenes stuff maybe going on,
right.
But you never had the we aren't high fiving each other enough, for lack of. You just yawn. What's wrong with you?
What?
Honestly.
3.5 hours.
You go out last night?
I did, yes.
Oh, what are you so sheepish about? I just asked you.
Yes, I did. Yes, I went out. Yes.
How late were you out?
I was back home around midnight.
Oh, okay.
Not bad.
All right. That's why you yawn. I'm just trying to get
that's
to
why
be,
I yawned.
Much like the Celtics, why we're trying to figure out what the problem is. I'm trying to figure out why you
yawn.
I'm
tired. That's why.
I'm all about answers.
And
I'm going to put up a poll question. Why did Alex just yawn?
Do it. Take a picture of me yawning.
By the way,
nice picture of me in the Celtics cap that you posted.
It was good, yeah.
A very good shot of me. A rare good picture.
I'm practicing for spring training. Those photos are always right on.
They're not blurry at all.
The week of photos I've already seen coming from there's Rick Porcello 300 yards away throwing a baseball.
What's a spring training content plan? What can the readers of WEI.com expect from you?
Like I said, I told you in a break, maybe I'm giving it away, but one of my plans is...
This is a great picture. I look really
what's,
good.
What's wrong with you?
It's 12:35. That's what's wrong with you.
I want to do an oral history on Mookie Betts driving the golf cart into the lake.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah. So that's just a tease. And of course, you have the Twin Peaks podcast, which I believe might be a week from tomorrow.
Great.
Rick Porcello, a staple, be 3 years running. And we need a replacement for Joe Kelly. Who would be your choice, Alex?
Barnes.
Barnes, okay.
I don't know what's his personality like though. Is he gonna?
He's good. He's been on the.
He's been on the mentality.
Yeah, he's been on the podcast before.
Or Brazier, maybe.
Brazier's been on as well.
It's gotta be a bullpen.
The guy who'd already had a tryout for it was Brian Johnson.
How do you do?
He did pretty well.
I don't know if he's big enough name.
Barnes. What are you talking about? Didn't we hear this over and over? This is the guy that saved the season for them.
Barnes or Brazier.
Well, multiple people.
Multiple people. Jerry should do the Twin Peaks Bradfo Show podcast.
Is he going to be there? I think he's going to be there. That's right.
My big takeaway from your spring training discussion earlier is listeners of Mutt and Callahan know that Jerry spent a large bulk of the show Friday bitching and moaning about this hotel, staying in this crappy hotel that's so far away from everything. You said it's half a mile further
away.
From where they usually stay.
It's half a mile away. I might rent him a moped so like he can... this is... It's insane to me. Like, but hey, you know, all the greats need their comfort zones, right?
And you are also volunteering to drive Jerry to and from every show when he's done.
Sure.
Good.
I'm not driving him to a show. The shows are at the park. I'm not waking up and driving him to the show. No, I'm
he
not doing that.
He might want that, though. He might want some quality time with you.
I will, of course. Jerry and I always have our quality time. I will drive him wherever he wants to go at night. That is
Twin
my
Peaks.
Deal. Twin Peaks. As long as that Twin Peaks.
Well, how about our poll question updates?
Okay, here we go.
Because these poll questions have driven the conversation, not just for us this morning about the Celtics, but I'd say the city.
For the city.
We've had the Boston Globe's media critic weighing in.
Yep.
Max Liederman called of Comcast Sportsnet called it, he laughed at your poll question.
He laughed. He said, something outsiders would do.
Yeah, is this really what a poll question looks like to casual fans?
Casual fans.
Yeah, or casual observers.
Casual observers. Yes, well,
we could look up the tweet, but I'd rather just paraphrase.
That's what everybody said about that tweet. So I put up these. The first one I put up was 3 hours ago. It has over 7,000 votes, and the question is who is most to blame for what is going on with the Celtics? 42% selfish young guys, 29% Brad Stevens, 17% Gordon Hayward, 12% Danny Ainge.
Stevens is number one on that list. Stevens has to be one.
Okay, but they say 42% selfish young guys.
Disagree with the majority.
So that had 142 comments on it. 142 comments on it. And a lot of them said, well, how can you not include Kyrie? Which is fair. As we said, I wasn't able to get in touch with the Twitter corporate office to get one more option. So we put up another poll. How much is Kyrie Irving to blame for the Celtics issues? This one has this was put up a couple hours ago, 1,671 votes. How much is Kyrie to blame? A lot, 40%. A little, 38%. Hardly at all, 22%. So maybe not the actual outcry for Kyrie. Although, as we both, I think we agree, Alex, why are you talking about Kyrie Irving being in the top four?
Because people are angry at him with his free agency comments from the other week, and they're looking for a reason to lash out. And now they're taking these losses.
I think it absolutely stems from him sitting there and backtracking a little bit. People took personal offense to that.
They did. Kevin in New Hampshire thinks Kyrie's part of the problem. Why, Kevin?
Guys, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I'm telling you, for a major market like this, the Celtics media is just embarrassing. You have a guy, Kyrie Irving, who... Let me back up. Name me an organization that doesn't take on the traits of its best player. The Celtics are based... They are built around a soft, one-dimensional brat.
What makes Kyrie Irving is an NBA champion and Olympic gold medalist. What makes you think he's soft?
Okay, he's not a tough-nosed, defensive-minded player. He's a one-dimensional offense.
He's a top 10 player in the league.
Okay. But my question to you is, well, he never did anything without LeBron James, and we know that. Secondly, he's not cut out for this leadership position. And for all these people that are blaming the young players, give me examples of selfish play from these young guys.
You know, Pete, I'm sorry, Kevin, you know, one of the things that I think we forget about Kyrie, and I don't necessarily disagree with a lot of what you're saying. Remember the comment he had early in the year, how this team needs like the veteran guy at the end of the bench?
Right.
Yeah, because he's not
right. But that's
look for him.
That's exactly it. And the fact that he's saying that instead of doing what Marcus Morris is saying, instead of doing what we want him to be, when he's saying we need this guy who isn't going to play at all to let us know like how to win. No, that's you. I don't care if you're 26 years old.
But here's my question. You listen to those Morris comments from last night, not having fun. Who could that logically be from on the roster but Kyrie Irving? You don't think that these guys hear this annoying, self-aggrandizing, just brat in the locker room and just want to tune this guy out? I can imagine him being absolutely zero fun to play with.
Well, I mean, it seems like the Cavaliers were having fun playing with him when they were winning titles with him and LeBron. And last year when Kyrie was healthy, it seems like they were having fun playing with him. I mean, and again, at the height of all this free agency nonsense, Celtics won 10 of 11. So, I mean, on the same night where Kyrie threw his younger teammates under the bus, the I Called LeBron night, that was when they beat the Raptors. He had the 35-footer three-point shot. So I don't think there's a correlation, and the not having fun thing I think is also kind of directed to maybe at all the trade rumors swirling around this team with Tatum and Brown, and you don't blame Danny Ainge for inquiring in Anthony Davis, obviously, but that has to be a factor as
well.
When
you go to Marcus Morris said last night, so he's saying the enthusiasm of the team is being too selfish. I mean, this is obviously, they lost the game in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah.
40-something point,
yep.
Fourth quarter by
outscored
the Clippers.
Outscored 70-38 in the second
well,
half.
Well, who isn't around when that's going on?
Yeah, Kyrie was out.
Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
So if you want to try to figure out who he's talking about, it can't be Kyrie Irving in that case
anymore.
Well,
in regards to last night.
Right. But that's what it was stemmed off of. That's what he was talking about.
It is amazing that team that we saw last night is even a better team on paper than the club that went to seven games Eastern Conference Finals because they had Hayward out there contributing in the second half last night. It's amazing.
Well, also, and I mean, this is a small thing, but Tice also.
Right.
Tice wasn't around.
No.
And you had Greg Monroe. If you had Earl Monroe, you'd be all right. But Greg Monroe is like the backup center.
Shemmy was getting not significant minutes, but minutes.
Yeah, you're right. You had maybe even marginally better, but you were better. You were more talented than you were last year.
Yeah. The mystery continues. John Zingardner.
In synopsis.
What's up, boys? How are we all doing?
It's good, John.
Alex, I just want you to know, if I could have gotten through, I would have supported you in your hour of need the other day with the poll between you and Wiggy.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
It was a lot. Landslide, wasn't it?
It was 80-20.
Well, Wiggy has to be informed that there's already a former tight end who's of mixed race that's a little bit loud and overbearing at times on the payroll, so I don't know if that slot needs to be filled. But I do like the guy. I just wish he'd calm it a little
bit. I'll be with Wiggy this week, John. Don't worry. I'll be with Wiggy this week.
That.
Yes, the battle
Celtics
continues.
And a little bit of baseball. How much did Kyrie miss last season?
He was out starting in the middle of March, so
he missed some games, a smattering of games as the season unfolded, and then in March he was officially out for the season.
I can pull up right here. He played in 60 games last year, so he missed 22.
But he was out of the playoffs.
And the entirety of the playoffs, right.
Yeah. So even though we're kind of jumping ahead, I think that's one of the differences on this team right now is that he's playing, and you got to bear with me to make my point. And Hayward's playing this year, which he didn't last year. Other than that, what's really different with this team?
Yeah, that's it. But, I mean, Kyrie, though, has been great this year on the floor. I mean,
and
we don't like his comments. But
he's a great, skilled basketball player. But the best player on your team doesn't always equate to being the leader. And what do we say about great basketball players? They ultimately make the other guys better, right?
Yeah, and I think it's fair to have questions about Kyrie's leadership. I mean, even just insinuating that he's not going to resign here, it's a bad look. You want to get away from LeBron so you can lead, and then you face some adversity and you think about
that's
tapping out.
That's definitely worked against him in public sentiment. And by the way, I'm going to get off my, among other things like technology, I'm going to get off my lawn old fart about basketball because I hate the three-pointer. But two a couple of months ago, there was a game they were on the road. I forget who they were playing. I believe it was a one-point game. He came up on the left side. He pounded it for 15 seconds, giving his best Hardaway impression. And then he drove. He got swallowed up by like three guys, sort of lost it, but then got it back. And he threw up this horrendous falling away jumper.
Who, Kyrie?
Yes. And I said to myself, this could be a problem. And as talented as the guy is, I think he is the basis of most of the problems on the team.
Yeah, and John, we're up against it. Thanks, though, for the call, as always. I just don't buy that. I just don't. I mean, this guy's, again, to say for the 80th time, he's a top 10 player in the league. He's your best player. We don't like his comments, yes, but on the floor, you are nothing without Kyrie Irving this year. You need Kyrie. And you're going to give him a max offer this offseason. So
it's definitely, though, just gauging off of social media, because like Wikipedia, it's never wrong.
Never wrong. It's mostly fake. It's mostly the Russian.
No, but it's like,
you
even
gotta be
like,
careful.
Yeah, that's true. That is accurate. It's crazy, though. It's crazy how many people out of when we're coming off of this Marcus Morris thing, how many people are like, Kyrie is the problem. Kyrie is the problem. And like I said before, in a nutshell, if you're just talking about what Marcus Morris was talking about, which was the fourth quarter last night, Kyrie Irving was in the hospital or wherever he was. John, traction.
John is in Westfield on Kyrie. Hey, John.
Yeah, here's my take, guys. And by the way, really fan of your show.
Oh, thank you.
Not necessarily your politics. Can't stand those. But
I apologize.
Yeah, Rob is way too.
I will never. The only political view I had was Elizabeth Warren. I had a huge problem with her not congratulating the Patriots.
I think Elizabeth Warren needs to go away forever.
Well, the only reason I even uttered those words was because I wanted to be the first person on this show to say Elizabeth Warren.
I beat you with AOC.
Okay.
Yeah. In any event, I'm going to throw in with some of these other callers. I really believe that Danny Ainge's biggest mistake was to identify Kyrie as the guy to build the team around. I believe he's a follower. He is not a leader. You know, he's not the guy who's gonna whip the guys into shape. He's not the guy like a Jordan type who's gonna demand that everybody play better around him. I just don't see it. I don't see any evidence of it in his play. I don't see any evidence of any leadership whatsoever. And I think that they really need to, you know, God forbid, start from scratch and find a new superstar to build a team.
Anthony
around.
Davis, that's your name, John. But this notion that Kyrie. I mean, Kyrie is 25 years old coming here, wins an NBA championship, the series winning shot, by the way, of that championship, gold medal, as I mentioned.
Oh, don't get the gold medal.
Gold medal, Rob.
Who cares?
I'm a Patriot.
Are you kidding me?
I'm a Patriot.
Jack O'Callaghan.
I care about this country.
He was a leader back in the 1980 Olympic hockey team.
I care about this country. But okay, fine. Game series winning shot to win the NBA final.
Christian Laettner won a gold medal.
Great, great American and a great man, Christian Laettner.
Give me a better example, but go ahead. I understand what you're saying.
I was saying I don't think these I had no questions about Kyrie Irving's leadership before he came to the Celtics. I just didn't.
Well, people do. This
and
is
now
clear.
They do. Now they do, and they're looking to pile on.
I had to call Bron.
Call Bron. Well, Kyrie would look really weak if he goes back and joins LeBron James, be second or third fiddle in L.A. with LeBron. That's a bad look for Kyrie.
You think he'll get booed if he comes back to Boston?
Depends on how his run ends.
No, the answer is yes, of course. If he leaves the Celtics and comes back, he will get booed. Yes. Yes. That's the answer is yes.
But if, yeah, probably.
Okay.
Probably. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
More with Bradford and Raymer right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Ah, the Fight Club song. I like it.
It's a Jim Gray versus John Clayton. That's my fight I want to see.
So sadistic.
Okay.
I've seen those two guys go to... I don't want anyone to fight. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Verbally fight.
Verbal fight. We verbally picked apart the Celtics today.
We didn't get anywhere.
There are more questions than answers at this point.
Okay.
Celtics. That's my takeaway.
It's like the Da Vinci Code.
Yes. I'm wearing my Celtics hat, and I feel the green.
We got nowhere. Even with the poll questions we put up, it was like, okay, the majority of people thinks the young guys are to blame, but Brad Stevens isn't far behind. And then you have, what was the other? Oh, Gordon Hayward was number three, and Danny Ainge was
interesting response, though, from a former Celtics employee, or a perhaps.
Yeah, well, it's saying you spelled Kyrie wrong four times.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, and Kyrie seems to be...
Which is silly.
I think the conclusion we came to, and Mark James can pick this up, is that the polarizing situation here is Kyrie Irving, and which is bizarre. I've said it for a third time. He was not around in the fourth quarter last night when Marcus Morris is bitching about them not
the bench
celebrating
looking
enough.
Exciting, looking excited.
Yeah. Or was sharing the ball.
Wasn't all around at all in the second half. Yeah, that's just a typical, again, people are wanting to get off some steam at Kyrie for his free agency comments a couple weeks ago, and it all comes back here. Brad Stevens is by far the number one here. We've had 4.5 months. They haven't figured it out. Nobody still seems to know their roles. The Marcus Morris stuff tells me that he has to go public with it, means that he's at his wit's end and says, wow, nothing's working behind closed doors. There's no control here. No one's in charge. So let me just air out my grievances publicly. So Brad Stevens is number one to me, and you know, then you can look at Horford not playing up to par, or Hayward's been slow to come back. But
what
then,
do you want Brad Stevens to say? That's what I would ask
I want Brad
you.
Stevens to... What do I want him to say?
Yeah.
To the guy, I want him to define some roles here, to let these guys know what's going on. I don't think there's communication, Rump. I sense a lack of communication.
Which he did when he started Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart.
And it was good.
He defined those roles.
And they played well after that.
It worked, but now we're sitting here and...
I mean, we're at
the point now
where you win 10 of 11, you think you're on a roll, and then you lose to the Lakers and you blow a 28-point lead to the Clippers. I mean, they cannot find their way.
Do you think that the players wanted Ainge to make a trade? Because one of the things that Marcus Morris said in his comments last night was, these are the guys we're rolling with. There's nothing we can do. Trade deadline's gone. Do you think they wanted them to make a trade?
No.
Do you think Brad Stevens wanted them to make a trade?
Probably, yes.
Yes, probably.
Probably.
Because it's a very difficult situation to manage.
You can trade what? I don't think you get Terry Rozier off this team. I don't think that changes all that much. I just don't.
They did trade Jabari Bird.
They did, and good. I was happy to see Jabari Bird leave town. All right, Bradfo, was a lovely Sunday morning with
Big
you.
Big week. Week of Reamer coming up.
Yes, yes. You'll hear the screechy voice a lot in the mornings, at least for the first half of the week before they leave me. Going down to Florida.
What do you want me to do down in Fort Myers with those guys?
I'm telling you. Oh, for the morning show?
Yeah.
I want you to be on every day. Bradfo as a third voice every day.
What do you want me to do this realistic?
Get Jerry. I think the idea of Jerry's scouting reports.
I like that.
Is great.
Like with the camera in the back,
yes,
giving the commentary,
yes,
about,
yes,
the swing
and
path.
And have him like show the stance too. You don't want to stand here. Elbows level.
It's done. Consider it done.
All right. Excellent. Bridget, great job for the hour you were here. Eamon was here earlier. Great job to Eamon. Mark James coming up until 3 o'clock. He is ready to dissect and pick apart the Celtics. So that's coming your way next on EEI. See ya, everybody. Enjoy your Sunday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.